Let's open up here. Pasuk Tezayin, the very end of Parshas Bo. Take a look at the Ramban, the bottom of page Shin Mem Dalet. Let's look at where he writes at the beginning. Then I want to skip forward to a global comment he makes. He begins by talking about tefillin, the last mitzvah. There's so many mitzvahs in Parshas Bo, an explosion, right? After up until this point, from Bereishis until Va'era, the record for number of mitzvahs per Parsha has been one. And then all of a sudden, we have an explosion of around 17 mitzvahs. At the very end of the parsha, one of the last mitzvahs is the mitzvah of tefillin, which appears more times in Parshas Bo than anywhere else. Right? There are four parshas of tefillin, two of which appear at the end of Parshas Bo. So two of the four mentions of tefillin come at the end of Kaddish and the end of Hayikiv Yecha, which together form Shvi of Bo. And obviously, Shema Vayim Shema are in Vaschanan and Akev, respectively. So Ramban, after trying to define what does the word totefes mean, something that Rashi gets involved in also, why totafos and not totefes, says that's because there are multiple batim in the shalrosh, as we know. Each of the four parshas has its own little chamber, which then are together squeezed into a single square. So then he writes the bottom line of Shin Mem Dal. Vehine, shorish ha-mitzvah azos. Let's move from the language to what the meaningfulness of this mitzvah is. And by the way, who else uses the term shoresh of a mitzvah to mean the tam? Not the details, but the idea behind the mitzvah? Sefer Chinuch. Right? Sefer Chinuch made it famous. Sefer Chinuch, as you know, is among the Sifrei mitzvahs, is a sefer which is unique for three reasons. Number one, unlike the Rambam's count and other Sifrei mitzvahs, the Sefer Chinuch works al Seder Parshas HaShavua. So he starts with Puruvu and Bo, as is in Bereishis, and then Giranasha in Lech Lecha, I see the Mila in Lech Lecha, Giranasha in Vayishlach, and then he moves on to all the mitzvahs of Bo and so on and so forth. While most other Moni mitzvah have some sort of logical, conceptual organization, Sefer Chinuch is Al Seder Parsha Shavuot. Number two, Sefer Chinuch is, not only talks about a brief review of the Dina, but he talks about Sharoshei HaMitzvah. Every time we'll talk, what's the part of the meaningfulness of the mitzvah? What ideas, what attitudes is the mitzvah supposed to do? Doing this mitzvah will help me develop what about my personality? Help me develop what about my emunah? The Sharoshei HaMitzvah. Number three, one of the things that's pretty unique about the Sefer Chinuch is that we have no idea, we don't know who wrote it. It's anonymous. For a while it was thought that it was the Ra'ah, who was a contemporary of the Rajba, a student of Rabbi Yonah and the Rabban, and that's no longer assumed to be true. Everyone wants a long, long while when the Sefer HaChinuch is quoted by the Rama, in the parentheses, whoever wrote the footnote parentheses for the Rama writes Ra'ah. But now it's no longer assumed. There's a beautiful, the new beautiful Sefer HaChinuch, you can read the introduction, talks about this issue of who wrote the Sefer HaChinuch. It's mysterious, but we do know it was someone from that school, from the Beis HaMedrash of the Ramban, the Rajba, someone from that period, from that Chabura, and here you have another small clue, is Ramban is already using that language of Shoresh HaMitzvah to mean, what's the idea behind the mitzvah? I know what the dinim are, I know what to do, but let's talk about what's the mitzvah supposed to do, how's the mitzvah supposed to impact me? So he writes, Shoresh HaMitzvah zos, shenaniach ksav yitzias mitzrayim, al hayal v'al arosh. He says the idea is I'm going to write about Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm going to put written material about Yetzias Mitzrayim on my head, on my arm. Kenegalei v'amor shehein mishkanos hamachshav. Beautiful poetic words from the Ramban. Says the goal is you're trying to hit the heart and the mind. Those are the temples of thought. And that's what we else do we talk about that idea? That we're going not only for the heart, but for the brain. That's the idea of tefillin. Right, and exactly. And the Shem Yichud, because they sprint in the sitter, the Hinnin in the Talmud, he talks about the talk there, based on the Sefer HaKuzri, about the Shalrosh being connected HaMoach. Rabban is talking, though, is that somewhat similar terminology. He's looking at both Lev and Moach as being places of Machshava. A bit different than that. He says, so Kadesh and Kiviyacha, the first two parshas are here primarily to drive home the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. As I said before, we take a ksav of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're going to write about Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're going to put that story into a physical format and attach it to the the homes of our thinking. And then Parsha Shmaya Mishamoa, there there's no mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim, really. So what are they doing there? Those paragraphs also have to go into the tefillin. Why? Right, that, as we know, the end of Shmaya, end of Yom Shamoa, there's a reference to tefillin. And Chazal understood that doesn't mean all of Chumash is supposed to be in tefillin. Nor does it mean that pasuk, it means that parsha. So from the beginning of the paragraph break, the end of the paragraph break, Shema v'hafta, or v'hayam shamoa, l'chein anu comes from gam shtei aparsh lehein l'totofos. Why? Not because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, she mitzvah ha'yichud, v'zichur kol ha'mitzvah v'anshon u'scharam. V'chol ha'shorej v'emunah. Mitzvah, the first parash, the first of those two parashas, Shema v'hafta, talks about ikari emunah. The second one talks about mitzvah ha'veros, schar v'yonash, along the lines of what we saw last week in the Chazon Ish. In the beginning of Perek Bez Muna Bitachon, it talks about the first application, the first nafkamina in abstract emuna is it's going to impact behavior. It's going to impact to what extent one keeps fidelity to Torah mitzvahs. That's what he says. So Shema is the abstract emuna in Yichud. We believe in Hashem Echad. We believe in having a relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avas Hashem. And Vayim Shema says we have mitzvahs, we have a veris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expectations of us, and there are consequences. Schar, Yonish. Tishma, lo tishma. This is the way it's going to play out. Okay. But then he says, okay. So I understand the idea. There's much more to say about that. Maybe some other time, not right now. We can talk some more about the law. There's tremendous amount to think about in terms of the ideas and the meaningfulness of the mitzvah tefillin. And says why we have both the shayyad and the shalrosh. Ramban again sort of puts them in parallel. And the Hini Mukhra Mazuman, they're not in parallel. Hini Mukhra Mazuman, you can take a look, careful look. Maybe some other time we'll take a careful look. Machshava is relates to the brain and the shalrosh, but the shalyad and the lev, the Hini Mukhra Mazuman goes in a different direction, not like the Ramban. So there's a lot to talk about in terms of the meaningfulness of tefillin in particular. But I want to move now to the bottom of Shin Memei, to that next bracket, where he says, let's back up, let's not just talk about tefillin. He says, okay, we've been through Parshas Bo. A lot of mitzvahs. And he says, it's our first time really encountering a massive mitzvah. We spoke a little bit about the meaningfulness of the rationale for tefillin. Now I want to talk about something more general, something that speaks to the rationale for many different mitzvahs. Avodah Zara, Ayin Gimel stands for Avodah Gilun, which is another term for Avodah Zara. So Olam Yimei Enosh, back from the earliest stages of Avodah Zarah, Hechalo Hadeus L'Shtaveish Be'emun. He says, ever since people lost the clarity about Ribbono Shalom, there have been a variety of different ways in which people have veered from correct and healthy emun. Mehem Kofen Be'ikar. One type of apikursis is to be kofed, to deny the ikar, to deny the whole idea. Meaning, Ha'olam Ta'emun. There is no God, Kachashu Bashem, Hayomu Lohu, Rachman and Flan, to deny the very existence of the Creator. To deny the existence of Rosh. That's number one. Umehem, Machishim Bidiyasa HaPratis. So Kofar Be'ikr means to deny the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch. You have others who are Kofrim, but not Kofrim Be'ikr, who believe in a God, but Machishim Bidiyasa HaPratis. They deny the fact that HaKadosh Baruch has Yediyah Pratis. Yediyah pratis means specific knowledge. The Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on, not just sort of, you know, oversees the whole world, but that the Kadosh Baruch Hu actually knows what's going on with me and with you. Yediyah pratis. This is the watchmaker theory. The Kadosh Baruch Hu set up the world like a watchmaker. Watchmaker sets the watch ticking, but once he's done, he doesn't keep it running. He may not even keep track of what's going on with the watch. He sells the watch and it moves out of his. Move out of his sphere. Sphere of influence, the sphere of knowledge. Roshan knows what's going on. So that's apikursus number two. Apikursus number three, that's Ramban. Nehem shiyodu b'idia u'machishim b'hashkacha. The third group, who may agree, yeah, Roshan knows what's going on, but he's not mashgiach. He doesn't care, he's not involved, he's not running the show. Yeah, he knows. He created this world, he's watching. He is. Watching the game, but not actually impacting it. So that's kfira number three. Mehem Shiod, again, the very, very bottom of page Shin Memet. Mehem Shiodu ve Yedia, the third group who believe in the existence of the Rosh Hashanah, believe that God knows, but don't think that God cares or gets involved. Rachishin Bahashgacha. Yasu Adam Kitigayam. People are like fish. So Shgiach HaKel Behem. Kosh Baruch doesn't keep track of them. Kosh Baruch is involved. Any mom onesh oschar. And there's a key point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't involved, so he's not responding. And certainly not going to be any schar v'onesh. Amen, onesh oschar. Yom Ha'azav Hashem is our Kosh Baruch Hu abandoned this universe. The very top of Shin Mem Vav in the second line. He says, this is a problem. That's step one. The problem. Not everyone believes. What's the solution? Hashem Yirtza, what could be a solution? To demonstrate that there is a God, A, who B, knows, and C, cares and is involved what's going on in this world and what we do. So what's the solution? What's the solution in Parshas Bo? Right? Miracles. Makos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then Ramban L'Shitaso, as I mentioned in the past, Ramban throughout Va'er and Bo has been talking about the fact that every Makkah, there's a Laman. Every single Makkah, it's doing this so that you'll notice this. Laman Yedis, that people will know this. Laman Saper Shemis, that people will talk about. Nobody understands that there's the goal of Makkah, as we spoke about last week. The goal of Makkah, Rosham could have extracted us from Mitzrayim in many other ways. Now, there was also the aspect of Onesh for the Mitzrayim, which he had already been, he had already promised to Avraham Avinu that had been part of the original blueprint in the Bris Milah Bzarim. But this is very extensive. It could have all come at once. It could have been one big onesh stacked instead of, you know, all in so many installments. So Rabban understands that part of what's going on is Rabban Shom is using this as an educational tool to teach, as we're talking about Thursday night, to teach Emunah. So Rabban says, now he picks up on that idea and runs with it. Up until this point, that's what's happened. Kashiyir tzalakim ve'eda obiyachid. Rabban writes the second line, Shin Mem Vav. Rabban Hashem desires a specific relationship with an eda, with a group of people, obiyachid, with an individual. Yasi iman mofes b'shinoi minhago shal olam b'tivo. Rabban Hashem chooses to do an unusual nes, changing nature, what we call a nes nikla. With a person, with a group, so those miracles demonstrate all the three types of abikursus are false. I'm open to nipla morshe yishla la'olam elka mechatsho yodeya mashgiach v'yachol. That sort of nays demonstrate there is a God, a mechatsho, who created it, and yodeya and mashgiach and yachol, and he knows what's going on, and he's involved in what's going on, and he's capable of intervening, yachol. That he unpacked even more than before the different stages of this of what we do believe. Then he says, and let's go further. If not only that Kadosh Baruch Hu do such an ace, but it was already predicted in advance, we were told in advance about it by Navi, what else does that teach us? He's very minimal. Oh, that adds more Ikari Amuna. Amita Sanahua. Not only if Rav Shalom tells the Navi to tell us in advance, here's what's going to happen, and then it happens, and now that we know about Rav Shalom, we also know that the Nehuah exists. And now, that's the key recipe to be able to put forward the whole system of Torah Mitzvahs. You believe in Rav Shalom, who exists and is continues to be involved in the world and knows and cares and is capable of involvement. And we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu communicates with us. Okay, so now the table is set. The Torah That's why the Chumash keeps saying, so that you'll know that I'm Ribono Shel Olam, the care of Haaretz in the midst of the land. I mean, not just I'm up in the sky, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in this world. Lahor Sal Hashgacha. That means that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what is involved what's happening. Kiloa then cares. Kiloa Zavo Sala Mikrim Kedaitam. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just let the world unfold stochastically, randomly, by luck and by chance. Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved guider of the universe. Yom Manteda Kim Kilo Hashem Haaretz. To know that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the world is God. What does that mean? Lahor Sal Chidush. That teaches you about the fact that Kadosh Baruch created the world. Name Shalom, Shabram Yai. That's why
the universe is Hashem's because he made it. But where did that came from? When B'chol Aretz? That's Yecholos. That's a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful. Who shalit b'chol. We have all of these nisim that together taught over the course of Makkos all of these lessons. Yeah.
If it's so pashut, why aren't there 7 billion Jews? Why do they only
have 16 billion? Good question. Excellent question. You'd like to say, well, that's great if you were there. That's true. That even if you were there, people have an extraordinary ability to write. So certainly, it's very nice that this happened over 3 millennia ago. That's wonderful. He says these mofsim, these osos, were edim ne'emanim, were certainly reliable ways of noticing the Kodesh Baruch Hu, emunas ha'borei v'torah. He says that'd be great if it happened today, but it didn't happen today. Happy little time. It's not happening all the time, in all places, all the time, constantly. Rabban says, Baruch Hu, clearly, it's clear from the Chumash, clear from the Tanakh. Baruch Hu did not choose to do a radical array of miracles at every time and every place. Baruch Hu demonstrates himself potentially and expects us to, and that's the whole idea of Torah in general, is that Hashem is giving us the opportunity and the responsibility to partner with him. We're supposed to be partners, junior partners, but partners in our own destiny, partners in our own spiritual growth, partners in making the world what it's supposed to be like, and partners in making ourselves what we're supposed to be like. So Hashem probably will demonstrate himself, but it's up to us, number one, to notice, and number two, to keep it alive. We'll take another question in a couple moments. Is, so Nisim happened, and now we have mitzvahs that are supposed to maintain that institutional national memory. Mitzvahs should now set tamid zikaron va'osa shero enenu. And then, no one to keep it fresh in our own eyes, in our own minds, what we saw in the past, an awareness that even for an individual person who had an extraordinary, inspiring experience, as we all know, inspiration can sometimes dissipate and evaporate over time. So you didn't have to have something. Rabban is already saying that he's often a tribute to the Sfas-Emes. Rabban is already saying essentially that idea. You need some concrete, ongoing physical activity that's going to help keep the Hisorus alive. There's no Kabbalah, as I'm sure you've heard many times at the end of some inspiring chunk of time. And there's no practical Kabbalah, concrete Kabbalah to keep the Hisorus alive. The Hisorus will naturally wither over time. Rabban says, they saw Rav Shlom, they saw the Nisim. But they need, even for themselves, he says, for us, the Shavuot, then, not take on Dabra Malenu, A, for ourselves, and B, in order to transmit this going forward to the second generation and thenceforth, B'nei'im, D'Achron, all the way down the line, that's going to require a system, an apparatus of physical mitzvahs. So then that begins to explain why some of these mitzvahs are so severe. Ever wonder why? I'll take a question over. Ever wonder why the mitzvahs of Pesach? If you open up the first mission of the Masechet Krisos, the Seder Kachin of the Masechet Krisos, which is all about being chayav. Well, it's really about, it's in Kachin, because it's mostly about bringing a carbon chatzis. Carbon chatzis, as you know, is in general brought for if you violate Aveira, those Aveiras which if you violate the Mezah, you violate Kares, you violate the Shodeg, then you Chayav Chatzis. So the Mishnah is what's called Krisis. It begins with a list of the 36 Krisis, 36 dinim in the Torah for which a violation carries with a penalty. Kares, and then Mishnah is getting into the dinim of Karbon Chatzis. So on that list, there are a couple of, you don't really find Yom Kippur there much. There are very few exceptions. A few exceptions is Pesach. Yom Kippur is there. Yom Kippur, Melachim Kippur, Shabbos. Okay, but then of all the Yom Tov, Pesach. Why? Karm Pesach, Chametz on Pesach. Karm Pesach, and that right happens to be a very unique category. It's one of the only two mitzvahs I say. All 248 mitzvahs, they only one of the two that are Chayav Karis. All those three big Karis, almost all of them are Lavin. A person violates Niyus, violates Shabbos, violates the Zara, and so on. But the only two mitzvahs are Milah and Pesach. That's very striking. So what's with Karban Pesach? What's with Yom Tov and Pesach? It's so severe. Hechemir me'od ve'inyan hazeh. The Torah is making this extra strict. Why? We're meant to notice these things, apparently. And Rabban pointed out to us a meta point that when you're learning time in the crowd, you're trying to understand the meaningfulness of mitzvahs. So you'd be looking at halacha, it's not just the overall of the mitzvah, but looking at the details of the halachas and its sort of broader pan halachic structures. Like, what's more chamor, what's more kal, looking at what the punishment is, that's something true in terms of pure halacha. In terms of the dinim, so we do the Gemara Yuma Pagim Lavanah, tells us that we do assess to figure out which din is more chamor, which is more kal, we need to triage, we need to pikuach nefesh, a Jew has to violate an adera, and he has to eat food in order to save his life, and all the options are treif. So the Gemara says, well, figure out which one is least treif by looking at which one has the least severe punishment. So you see in halacha that the severity of the punishment can be assessed by looking at this. The severity of the punishment is a way of assessing the severity of the underlying din. That's a halacha concept. Here Rabban says that's reflective of the hashkafa mitzvah. If the Torah goes out, all out, gunning out against violating Pesach and violating Chametz, that tells me that the ideas must be incredibly severe. Why? He says, this is why. Pitrush, and because this is such an incredibly important process. This enterprise of keeping the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim alive. And as you say, not just the historical yidiyah, chelik of Torah to know the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where Yetzias Mitzrayim gets me, and that does get me is what? Is to all the Ikari Amuna. The Ikari Amuna that together make it possible to have a system of Torah mitzvahs. I mentioned to a couple of you, Rabbi Weinberg, Yaakov Weinberg, one of the late Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, gave shurim a couple of decades ago on the 13 Ikari Amuna, as the Rambam counts them out. The Rambam enumerates 13 Ikari Amuna, so Rabbi Weinberg and his shiurim, which were published by a Talmud, one of the ideas he works with throughout is he wants to know why are these 13 specifically Ikari Amuna? There are other true ideas in Judaism. So why are these the 13 on your mountain? The thesis he develops is that there are many true ideas, but these are the 13 ideas, all of which are critical in order to have a durable system of halacha. If you take away any one of these 13, not only are you not believing something important and true to Jews, to everyone, important to us, but this ultimate system of halacha is not going to be sturdy and durable, and it's just going to get worn away by moral relativism, by some other such force. So Rabban Arey is saying that sort of idea here. And he said before, that these ideas, he had a shorter list, he said these ideas are necessary in order to have a meaningful system and a durable system of halacha. He says, that's what's at stake. It's not just that part of Torah is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we shouldn't forget the Parshas Bo. It's this story in particular, more than almost any other story in Chumash, is the basis for everything. It says that's why the Torah makes it very clear that Yisur Chametz and the mitzvah of Karban Pesach are so critical. We have to put this in the tefillin. And they even mention the mezuzah, which is fasting. That's actually surprising. And he mentions it again later, a page later, that the mezuzah is there for Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's strange about that is, there's no mention there of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm not sure. It's an open question, what the Rabban is thinking. But he says, Pesach, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Kriyashma, Yitzchiras Yitzchias Mitzrayim, Kemo Sha'amru Emes V'yatzir Daraisa, V'matizki Yitzchiras Kamiyat Mitzrayim, Kol Mechayecha, V'shenasa Sukkah B'chol Sha'am. Interesting, he says Sukkah also. Sukkah is not the actual story of Yitzchias Mitzrayim, Sukkah is the after story. V'chein kol peyotu b'hen mitzvah. So many mitzvahs, Zecher, Yitzchias Mitzrayim, and it's all about keeping this alive. It says, Hakona b'mezuzah, a couple of lines. Hakona mezuzah bezuzah, two lines after where the first underline. Kuvah bepisro, person buys again. Another mention of the mezuzah. Buys the mezuzah for $1, mezuzah, a couple of dollars. Okay. What did we say earlier in the year? 200 zuz, and the purchasing power equivalent of 200 zuz as well. So like
$20,000 or so. It's $100. Okay. Mezuzah for $100. Maybe it's actually cheaper nowadays than it used to be. Fellow buys a mezuzah for a zuz, kaval pistol. So simple. You go buy a mezuzah, you put it on the door. What did you do already? It's kavei binyanah, but you were thinking about what the idea. You didn't just put a mezuzah, but you thought about what the mezuzah says, the content. How amazing. Such a simple activity and such profound ideas. You ready? You just accepted Chidush HaOlam, ideas Habore, Hashgachasa, Nevuah, that whole slew of ideas that Ikari Amuna that he mentioned before, that Baruch Shalom created and is, continues to be aware and involved in running the world, and that he communicates with people. Wow. Besides the fact that there's a reference to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu does good for those who do mitzvahs, took us out of Mitzrayim, covered Gadol, etc. So, wow. He says, and that's why Lafika Chamru Evizar b'mitzakalka v'chamura shakul chamudos v'chavivus ma'od. He says, that's why the Chazal tell us, you gotta take every, even a mitzvah that seems small, it seems tiny, you gotta take it seriously. He says, every mitzvah reminds us of that idea. Every mitzvah reminds us of that idea. And then, he closes, we're going to skip a little bit, and then we'll close with a question. The very, very last word of page Shin Mem Vav, he goes on to say the line, the most famous line in this entire Ramban, one of the most famous lines in perhaps in all Ramban al Torah, Minan Nisim HaGadolim, it's all underlined, Amufursamim, Adamod Benisim HaMistar Mishayim Yisod HaTorah Kul. And he said, you have to realize this is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is, he says, recognizing, keeping alive the memory, the fresh memory of these great Nisim, the Nisim Galuyim, the absolute, the suspension of the laws of nature, Dam, and so on and so forth, Kriyas Yamsuf, Makas Bukhoros, Choshech. The point of that is not to know that Kadosh Baruch Hu does razzle-dazzle Nisim. The point of that really is to know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in subtle, under the radar ways in our lives. Nisim Nistar, without suspension of the laws of nature. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is an ongoing, to our eyes less intensive, but far more extensive involvement in our lives. Shehen Yisod HaTorah Kula. That's what Torah is really built on. That is an incredibly important point of Chaim Friedlander and Sifsei Chaim and others point out. In other words, Judaism is not supposed to be a religion of sort of a couple of great moments. Yahdus, as we know, is a religion of the everyday, of ongoing consistency of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we recognize, in large part, the ongoing consistency of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us. Not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a couple of great moments in Jewish history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually did things for us. We understand Rosh Hashanah is involved in our lives in an ongoing, everyday way. Every once in a long while, as Rabban said, every once in a long while, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a massive show, a massive demonstration. But that's not what life is about. Life is about the ongoing, the day-to-day consistency. That's what they say as a medrash. We're not sure where it originally comes from, but it's quoted by the Hakadam in the Hakadama to Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is a parish on all that Galatas and Shas. For many centuries, I think, there were many shuls throughout Eastern Europe where there was an ongoing Chabura Shir in Ein Yaakov. The Jews were not ready to learn Gemara, all of it. They would learn the Agadata. And Ein Yaakov is a very, it's really the Gemaras, a selection of Gemaras. Ein Yaakov is really the parish that was written on these Agadatas, but the set of Surah became known as Ein Yaakov. So in the Hakadam to Ein Yaakov, he quotes a Medrash that has a three-way machlokas, what is the Kol Gadol Batorah? Which pasuk? The central pasuk is Vavsriach Kamocha, it's famous in the name of Rabbi Akiva, or is it perhaps Shema Yisrael, Noch Hashem Elokecha, Ikari Amuna, or is it Esakemes Echatasa Boker? Do I get to bring carbon talmud every morning, every afternoon? Very strange. It's a din. It's a very true, important din. We have based on Mikdash, which we should be Zelf soon. Applies every day. It's very nice. There are many. There are 612 other mitzvahs in Torah. Why that in particular? So a number of darshanim have suggested that it's the point isn't that mitzvah per se. The point is that consistency. And the recognition that it's not just the great moments. That the real avos Hashem and real satisfaction in relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come from the everyday. And Ramban says, it reflects the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us. The Ikar Yachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us is not just in the great razzle-dazzle occasional moments, it's in the everyday Nisan Nistar. That's real emuna, that's real yachas, and we respond in kind.